Category 3, Idalia, has made landfall here in Florida. The rain bands continue to push northward. I'll show you when we'll likely to see the rain beginning here.
And I'm in the WRL Storm Tracker, pretty close to the center of Idalia as it makes landfall. I have a live report show you the conditions here in Florida coming up.
We're live at Wrightsville Beach as the coast of North Carolina is preparing for Hurricane Idalia as it slams Florida and moves up the coast. Coming up, I'll explain how lifeguards are warning beachgoers ahead of the storm.
And for the second day, UNC students will not be in class as people still process the on-campus shooting that happened on Monday. Straight ahead, WRL's Laura Levine will tell us about the ways the university and the community is honoring the professor who was killed. A big day for news and weather here at WRL. Thanks for joining us here on Fox 50. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hobie. And we have you covered from here to our coast all the way down to the Florida coast as well. A WRL weather alert day right here. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with the track of Idalia.
Yes, officially the National Hurricane Center says at 7:45, Category 3 Hurricane Idalia made landfall at Keaton Beach, which is right here in Apalachee Bay. They also said that this is the first time that there has been a landfalling major hurricane right in that area. We've seen storm surge reports up to 6-plus feet. There's been some video of Cedar Key, which is down a little farther south from where it made landfall, of houses that are beginning to get inundated with water. We're not likely to see anything that extreme, of course, here, but we do have the chance for some flooding. It is a WRL weather alert day for later today through tomorrow. We have this flood watch that's in effect. 2 to 5 inches of rainfall are possible, and you can see the spread. A lot of the viewing area may just see 1 to 2 inches of rain, and then just to the south of Raleigh, so for parts of Johnston County, Wayne County, down toward Clinton, Fayetteville, Southern Pines, Hope County, that's where we could see up to 5 inches of rain. That's where we'd be more concerned about flooding. Oftentimes, we have tropical systems move on land and produce some weak tornadoes. The best chance of that would be closer to Wilmington, but we'll be watching our southern counties, especially, say, southern Sampson County, for that potential. We have a little bit of sunshine out there this morning, but by early afternoon, we may start to see some light rain. The first big rain band comes zipping into our area around 3 to 5 p.m. Notice it looks wet for almost the entire viewing area by the evening commute. And then after that, it's just going to rain fairly steadily all night long. It may be heaviest first thing in the morning tomorrow. Here's 5 a.m. We'll pause it there at 9, and some of that heavier rain starting to move out. As a matter of fact, the rain may be over in the triangle by lunchtime and then over in the entire viewing area by the evening commute. Wind will be an issue, but it shouldn't cause a lot of damage. Our winds around the triangle area gusting 30 to 35, 40 to 45 in our southeastern counties. The areas that may have flooding could have a few isolated power outages as well. And again, those are going to be the counties closer to the coast. On the coast, we have a tropical storm watch. We could see some storm surge, mainly 1 to 2 feet, but some areas of the sounds could be up to 3 to 4 foot storm surge. And of course, there'll be some heavy rain there. We're going to go over specifics of wind, rain, and storm surge for the coast coming up in just a few minutes. This afternoon, temperatures will climb into the mid-80s. We'll see increasing cloud cover, and of course, the rain will kick in mid to late afternoon. Brian?
8:03 right now, and we are watching traffic around the triangle, seeing some heavy delays building now on the northbound side of 885 in Durham with a crash reported between TW Alexander Drive and Ellis Road. You can see those heavy delays beginning right around the I-40 interchange. On the west side of Durham, still getting a crash cleared from 751 at Curley Road, not too far from the Orange-Durham County line, and leaving Hillsborough heading toward Chapel Hill this morning. Watch for a crash on 40 eastbound right around New Hope Church Road. I'm not seeing big delays on the sensors in that area. In Chapel Hill, on the north side of Chapel Hill, a downed tree and power lines have blocked the intersection of Franklin Street at Elliott Road and apparently knocked out signals along Franklin Street all the way down toward Hillsborough Street. Good idea to avoid that area if you can this morning. Use Fordham Boulevard to Raleigh Road or Highway 54 as a good way to get into the downtown part of Chapel Hill. We have a report of a vehicle fire on the north side of Raleigh, 540 westbound, right around the Falls of Neuse Road interchange. From Lewisburg Road out to I-40, we're seeing a 13-minute delay. Almost all of that is between Lewisburg Road out toward Falls of Neuse. It clears up pretty quickly once you get through that interchange. Not too far from 540, a crash with injuries on Forestville Road near Landover Lane, north of Buffalo Road. Still seeing some heavy delays in both directions there, and also on Buffalo Road approaching the 540 interchange. And south of Knightdale, we have a crash with injuries at Bethlehem Road. That is just south of Grasshopper Road. Sensors are indicating some pretty heavy backups in both directions.
So Idalia has landed, hitting parts of Florida hard right now. Hundreds of thousands of people are under evacuation orders as that storm is bringing high winds and life-threatening storm surge. The governor says too late to evacuate. You need to hunker down right now. As you take a live look here at the top part of your left screen there, that is Gainesville, Florida, right now with a live look. We have team coverage for you this morning. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is in the WRL Storm Tracker on the roads in Florida. Amy, last we spoke, you were headed towards some of the activity of this storm. Where are you now?
We're very, very close to the center of the circulation. We're in a town called Live Oak, and conditions are not great here. We've actually seen some power flashes, some probably a transformer, something that you would see with tornado warning sometimes when you have some really strong winds. And we have seen some power outages. There's a lot of debris on the road when you're in the areas with trees, a lot of leaf litter, limbs down on the roads. And again, we have had some power outages. And I keep checking the Storm Tracker weather station, the winds, and the strongest gusts now that we've had 48 mile per hour winds. We're really close to the center of circulation. The center is just south of the Perry area. We're getting pretty close to one of those stronger rain bands. It's very close to the center of circulation. We're about 39 miles from the eye. And the hurricane force winds extend about 25 miles outside of the eye. So we're getting very, very close to some of those really strong winds. We aren't going to get too much closer, but the plan for today is just to monitor conditions here in Florida, and we'll continue to track this storm as it continues to move into Georgia as well. So stay tuned. We'll have more live reports. We're pretty close here to the center circulation, starting to see things deteriorate a little bit, at least in this part of Florida.
All right, Amy, thank you. And back here in North Carolina, Governor Cooper and emergency management leaders will update us on how the state is preparing. That's happening today at 3:30. We will bring you that live on WREL TV, WREL News Plus, and of course, our digital platforms as well. WREL's Kelsey Coffey is on Wrightsville Beach this morning. Kelsey, people headed down east, they need to be careful because of those rip currents.
Michelle, they definitely need to be careful. We've even noticed that we've seen some lightning strikes further out in the distance, but there's still surfers that are out trying to enjoy just the last little bit of sunshine, but we see that there's some clouds there in the distance. Now, red flags were on the beach yesterday and are still flying this morning, indicating that the water isn't safe for swimmers. Lifeguards are warning beachgoers that the storm could bring in dangerous rip currents.
Well, we are going to advise everybody to stay out of the water. We're going to fly red flags. And with all these tropical storms coming up, we could see very strong rip currents and even, you know, the beach going underwater a little bit.
And we caught up with some folks who live in the area. They say that they're taking the necessary precautions, but they're hoping that this storm will be in and out by the holiday weekend. And it looks like how things are going right now on the beach, people may be trying to head inside because we can see those clouds are coming. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Wrightsville Beach.
Park Ranger right there with some of those surfers getting too close to the pier, warning them. Duke Energy is preparing for Idalia to move toward the Carolinas, and it wants to make sure that you are prepared as well. If you experience a power outage, be sure to report it to Duke Energy. You can do that by visiting the website, or you can text OUT to 57801. You can also call 800-POWER-ON. You can stay informed by looking at the outage map online and signing up for outage alerts by texting REG to 57801.
And also be sure to download the WREL News app for up-to-the-minute information about how Idalia will affect you. It is free wherever you get your apps.
For the second day now, UNC students will not be in classes. Campus community is working through the trauma from Monday's on-campus shooting. WREL's Laura Levine joins us now from UNC, the students and staff supporting each other and honoring that professor who died. Laura.
The Carolina community is coming together to honor a man they describe as an excellent professor and the father of two young children. Today at the Tower Bell here behind me, the bell is going to ring at 1:02. That is the exact time when the shooting occurred, a time that will forever be etched in the minds of many students here. Last night, crowds of people united on campus as students are not only coming together to process this difficult time with peers, but they're also using this opportunity to shed light on addressing gun violence. Students and colleagues have left flowers, cards, and a model of a molecule at the base of the tower where there is a growing memorial. We spoke with the students who's behind organizing some of these events. They tell us they're passionate about ensuring Professor Yan did not die in vain.
We're calling on North Carolina leaders and leaders around this country to take action on gun violence. This is senseless. This is preventable. This is the only country where this happens. This is, you know, the third or fourth time that there's been a threat at my school, you know, just in the last, 13 years.
Now take a look at this video here. What you're looking at is police searching the suspect's apartment. As far as the investigation stands, police are still looking for that gun that was used during the shooting and a motive. Happening tonight at 7:30, the UNC community will hold a candlelight vigil on Polk Place. And if it rains, they're going to move that to the Dean Smith Center. Laura Levine, WRL News in Chapel Hill.
11 minutes after 8, we'll give you a live look right now. This is Perry, Florida, as Hurricane Idalia has officially made landfall. We have new video of how the storm surge is affecting areas there this morning.
And also a coworker of the UNC professor who was shot and killed on campus is speaking out. The concerns they say Zijie Yan told them about regarding one of his students just a month before his murder. Of course, now Idalia has made landfall. A lot of those rain bands are starting to surge northward. I'll show you when we'll start to see the rain and how much you could see where you are. Welcome back as we continue our coverage of Hurricane Idalia. This is a live look there at Perry, Florida. That is very near where this hurricane made landfall. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. We have to get right over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner because, Elizabeth, this hurricane bringing some serious wind and rain. It was downgraded to a Category 3.
Yeah, it had winds officially at 125 as it made landfall. That was according to the hurricane hunters, where they fly those airplanes in and drop instruments into them and get readings. And so those are pretty accurate. We haven't seen any of that all the way to the ground. I'll show you what the highest gusts we've seen on the ground as that's moved inland. But boy, you could look at that video there and you can see just how rough it is. It may be that the main issue with this storm is going to be storm surge. We've had some reports of up to 5-10 feet of storm surge. And the forecast for this area was about 10 to 12 foot storm surge. And of course, that's going to cause some major damage. The storm made landfall here officially at Keaton Beach, which is part of Apalachee Bay here. And according to the Tallahassee National Weather Service, there has never been a landfall in Category 3 plus storm, never a major hurricane making landfall in this area. So that's pretty unusual for the coast of Florida. Well, take a look at the big picture, and you can see these rain bands stretching up into Georgia, and you can see a number of tornado warnings that are popping up sort of on that line, that first edge of that first rain band. And of course, we're going to start to see some of those rain bands here later on today. Here's a look at 77 miles per hour. That's the strongest gust that we've seen from one of the buoys. We'll start to look at some of the inland wind reports and let you know what those are looking like as we start to get that information in. The storm is now down to 120 miles per hour. We've got the 8 o'clock update. It's still moving northeast at about 18 miles per hour. So it's moving pretty fast. Again, we're expecting up to 12 feet of storm surge in that area where the storm made landfall. For us, it's going to be mainly a flooding issue. We have a WRL weather alert day today for 2 to 5 inches of rainfall across our viewing area, but it's really going to be very different parts of our viewing area. From the Triangle area northward, we're looking at 1 to 2 inches, but very quickly you cross that line and we could see up to 5+ inches of rainfall, and that's where we'll likely have some flooding issues. And that's going to be, say, from Southern Pines to Fayetteville to Clinton to Goldsboro, maybe even as far north as Wilson. Around 1 o'clock, we may see some light rain, but it looks like 3 o'clock and later is when we start to see some of those heavier rain bands moving through. It'll start to be a little breezy, a gust 20 to 30 miles per hour this evening. You can see the rain's just going to be steady overnight and possibly heaviest early tomorrow morning between, say, 5 and maybe 8 a.m. And then that rain starts to pull out. The rain should be over by lunchtime in the Triangle and in our eastern counties by around the evening commute. We have that potential for some isolated tornadoes down closer to Wilmington. We're going to see gusts in the Triangle, say, 30 to 35 and in our eastern counties, 40 to 45 mile per hour gusts there. We take a look at those maximum wind gusts as the storm moves northward. Category 2, possibly even around, say, Charleston. And then, of course, it starts to make that turn offshore. We will have some impacts here. We do have a tropical storm warning that's in effect up and down our coast. Storm surge will be a small issue. You can see the blue areas, 1 to 3 feet, but the yellow areas in some of the sounds up to 4 feet. And of course, rip current danger all through the weekend, big holiday weekend there. So just keep that in mind if you're headed to the beach. The weather should be okay, but the storm surge, the rip current danger will still be high. Winds along the coast, 40 to 60 miles per hour, and we do have that small tornado risk along the coast. Of course, our biggest threat here is going to be the potential for flooding in our eastern counties. That continues tonight into tomorrow, and then it all moves out, and it looks like it'll be a fairly quiet holiday weekend for us. Temperatures should be really nice on Friday and Saturday, but warming up closer to the 90s by Labor Day itself. Brian?
It is 8:18. We have two crashes right now on the Durham Freeway, one on the northbound side around TW Alexander Drive, and another on the southbound side right around the Glover Road area. You can see where they have the left lane blocked there on southbound 885. Let's take a look at the effect it's having on your ride along 885 in both directions. A little bit of a backup on the northbound side, about a 5-minute delay from I-40 up through the TW Alexander Drive interchange. Then it clears up quickly once you get toward the 147 split. On the southbound side of 885, you're seeing about a 2-minute delay because of that crash around Glover Road. So a little bit of a backup, but not seeing huge problems out there. With that lane closure on southbound 885, move over at least one lane if you can. Still getting that crash cleared from Orange County at 40 eastbound near New Hope Church Road between Hillsboro and Chapel Hill. And on the west side of Durham, I think they've pretty much cleared that crash at 751 at Curley Road. Still following this breaking news in Chapel Hill, where Franklin Street is closed at Elliott Road. That intersection blocked because of downed trees and power lines. And it looks like the signals along Franklin Street are out all the way out toward Hillsboro Street. Use Fordham Boulevard and 54 as a good alternate route this morning. Also still watching those delays on 540 westbound in the north part of Raleigh. Good news, though, they've started to ease up a little bit, about a 6-minute backup overall from Lewisburg Road to I-40.
Thank you, Brian. Following some breaking news this morning, some sad news. One person is dead after a driver hit and killed him earlier this morning in Cumberland County. The State Highway Patrol says it happened around 2 o'clock this morning. They say a truck driver, James Harold, stopped to help a disabled motorist. He was walking back to his truck when he was hit. It happened on NC 210. Charges are not expected. The driver was not speeding or drinking while driving.
And more breaking news. We're following that downed tree Brian mentioned there has power out for people in Orange County. But we just checked a minute ago and 808 customers are without power. So that number's down just a little bit. Brett Neese was on the scene in the WRL breaking news tracker as crews work to get the power back on.
Crews are working as quickly as they can to replace at least two different power poles here along this intersection that were taken out by that tree around 10:30 last night. I'm going to step behind the camera and show you a little bit of what these crews have been doing through the night to try to get this power restored. This is one of those power poles we're talking about. It's right in front of Fire Station 3 here in Chapel Hill. The tree that took out these power lines is just up the road here on Elliott Road. You can kind of see some of the branches there that are still covering the sidewalk. Take a look at this. This is video from the WRL breaking news tracker from this scene overnight. Crews tell me the angle at which this tree fell is the reason it caused so much damage when it ripped the power lines with it. The power outage has stoplights out at multiple intersections along Franklin Street, but crews are hopeful those will all be fixed by the middle of the day. At that point, they'll be able to reopen this intersection at Franklin Street and Elliott Road. In the meantime, use Fordham Boulevard as an alternate route. In Chapel Hill, Brett Neese, WRL News.
A former coworker of the professor killed in the UNC shooting says Zijie Yan reached out to him recently saying he was worried about one of his grad students. Doug Crissy is a professor at Tulane who says that he served as a mentor to Yan. He described Yan as a sweet man with a brilliant mind. He says he was exchanging emails with Yan last month when the professor shared his concerns.
He also said that he had a graduate student who was troubled with mental illness, and he had some delusions, and that he talked to his department about it.
WRL has reached out to UNC Chapel Hill about this claim to confirm it, but we have not heard back. Well, this morning, streets are flooding in Treasure Island, Florida. The island is near St. Petersburg. These videos were taken near City Hall earlier this morning. Officials say some roads are under several inches of water right now. And lightning struck an apartment complex in Mooresville last night as storms passed through there. You see that? WREL viewer Amy Shields captured this. She says this happened just before 8 p.m. Doctors pulled a live worm from a woman's brain in Australia. The 64-year-old underwent brain surgery for an abnormality in the right frontal lobe of her brain. That is when a neurosurgeon pulled out the live 3-inch-long round worm. Doctors say that kind of worm is usually found in pythons. They believe that she caught the round worm after picking a leafy vegetable, which she says she cooked and ate. Wow.
8:23 is the time right now. Live look here in Florida as we give you the latest on Hurricane Idalia and heavy winds and rain to that area.
As you get into your car, tune to WREL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We continue our coverage of Hurricane Idalia. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking its every move. It made landfall this morning on the West Coast.
Officially at 7:45 near Keaton Beach, which is right here on the east side of Apalachee Bay, with winds at 125 miles per hour, Category 3. This rain band here, as it's moving on up into the panhandle of Florida, is producing some very heavy rain. We've seen some extreme storm surge from this, some video coming out of that part of Florida right there along the coast. Storm surge 5 to 10 feet is pretty dramatic, and we'll have some of that for you coming up in our newscast. You can see the rain band starting to push on up into Georgia, and of course that's going to be our biggest issue today. We have a WREL weather alert day, 2 to 5 inches of rain between this afternoon and tomorrow, maybe just 1 to 2 in the triangle, but it's likely to be much heavier in our southern counties where flooding is most likely. Brian,
some good news here at 8:27 in Durham. We have a crash on the southbound side of 885 for the Durham Freeway right around Glover Road that has cleared in the past couple of minutes. Still have some delays, though, because of a crash on the northbound side of 885 right around TW Alexander Drive. In either direction, you're looking at about a 5-minute delay between I-40 and I-85. In the northern part of Chapel Hill, a downed tree and power lines have closed East Franklin Street at Elliott Road, also knocking out traffic signals along Franklin Street. Use Fordham Boulevard to Raleigh Road as a good alternate route.
Thanks, Brian. And Governor Cooper will speak at 3:30 this afternoon about our state's preparations for Hurricane Idalia. This is a live look at Wrightsville this morning. We are under a state of emergency, and a tropical storm warning has been issued along our coast. Lifeguards are warning beachgoers that the storm could bring in dangerous rip currents. And next on Fox 50, we'll check back in with meteorologist Amy Wilmoth, who is on the roads in Florida this morning. And then next on Today, revealing...
Team coverage this morning as Hurricane Idalia has made landfall in Florida. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is in the WRL Storm Tracker right now in Florida. We're also getting a look at the preparations taking place here in North Carolina.
And you can see where the storm is now, pushing a lot of rain out ahead of it. I'll show you what time the rain bands will arrive where you are and how much rain you could see.
8:30 is the time straight up. It's been a busy morning so far on the air since 4:30.
Yeah.
Tracking this landfall just about 45 minutes ago for Idalia in Florida. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, we have you covered on everything you need to know for this hurricane. As we mentioned, we could also see effects here with rain and wind and rip currents at the beach. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been following this storm really since it formed, Elizabeth, and it did make landfall this morning as a Category 3.
That's correct. And the National Weather Service in Tallahassee, which of course has jurisdiction over this part of Florida here, the Apalachee Bay, put out a note and said there's never been a landfalling Category 3 plus or major hurricane in the Apalachee Bay before. So they're seeing some unprecedented destruction here. We've seen a lot of video of storm surge that is causing destruction there, as much as 5+ feet of storm surge. We're seeing some very heavy rain and strong winds in this rain band that's moving inland. That's going to cross over into Georgia here shortly. We'll widen the view out And you can see some of the tornado warnings that are headed up towards Savannah, that first rain band producing some of those tornado warnings. And of course, we'll continue to follow this. Storms moving to the north and east at about 18 miles per hour. And we'll start to see some of the rain bands mid to late afternoon. So it is a WRAL weather alert day, 2 to 5 inches of rainfall for us. But not everybody's going to see rainfall that's that heavy. Around the Triangle area, up to 1 to 2 inches. That's as far south and west as the northern part of Moore County. The southern part of Moore County into Hope County could see as much as 5 inches. There's going to be a big difference here, big line between where we see a lot of heavy rain and not very much rain. Parts of Edgecombe and Wilson County down through Goldsboro, Clinton, Fayetteville, that's where we're going to be most concerned about flooding, especially late tonight and early tomorrow morning. We do tend to see isolated tornadoes with these systems, but the best chance for that is going to be closer to the coast. Our potential for those spin-up tornadoes is fairly low. By lunchtime, we start to see some light rain in our southern counties, and then here comes that first wave of heavy rain between 3 and 5 o'clock. For most of us, we're going to be seeing rain during the evening commute. Once it starts, it's just going to keep on coming all night long. It'll get heavier from time to time, especially early tomorrow morning as the center of the storm gets closer to Wilmington. And then it begins to ease up, starting as early as 9 to 10. The rainfall should be over around lunchtime in the Triangle and by the evening commute in our eastern counties. And then we're going to settle into a pretty quiet weekend around here. Our wind gusts for tonight and early tomorrow likely to be 30 to 35 miles per hour in the Triangle and a little higher than that, 40 to 45 miles per hour in our southeastern counties. That can definitely cause some small trees, some weak trees to fall, maybe some isolated power outages. Along the coast, the entire coastline is under a tropical storm warning. There will be some storm surge. I'm going to go over what that will look like coming up in just a few minutes to talk about some of the rainfall totals there. Again, our rainfall starts mid to late afternoon. Ahead of that, it'll be a warm high of 85 degrees. Once all this moves out, we're actually looking okay for the holiday weekend. I'll show you coming up.
And Hurricane Idalia is hitting parts of Florida very hard right now. This is a live look there at Gainesville, Florida. The storm is battering Florida with high winds and life-threatening storm surge. Our team coverage stretches from Florida to Wrightsville Beach. We'll start with meteorologist Amy Wilmoth in the WRAL Storm Tracker. She is in Lake City, Florida right now. Amy, last we spoke, you were heading closer toward the eye of the storm. What are you seeing right now?
We're very close to the center of circulation, and we can show you that with radar and show you our location on the storm in the storm tracker and where the center of circulation is, just how close we are to the center. We are getting some pretty gusty winds. I'd say probably about 50 mile per hour wind gusts. We're keeping a close eye on the weather station here on the WRAL storm tracker. This is getting closer to us. We have had some power outages. Some of the power lights are out here. We also just not that long ago got alerts on our phone for extreme wind warning and to take cover immediately because we're getting so close to the eye wall and those strong winds. They're just a few miles away from us. So we'll continue to monitor conditions here in Florida. Things certainly windy. The rain is coming down heavily at times within some of those rain bands. We're going to probably follow this into southern Georgia over the next several hours and continue to track it into North Carolina as we progress through the next couple of days. So we'll have more live reports coming up in just a little bit.
Amy, thanks for that. We'll check back with you. Be safe. Governor Roy Cooper plans to speak this afternoon about how North Carolina is preparing. We're under a state of emergency right now, and WRL's Kelsey Coffey's at Wrightsville Beach this morning. Kelsey, I know with the storm coming, a lot of folks think that's a great time to go surfing. You know, that may last a little while, but at a certain point, we're going to have to get ready for Idalia's effects.
Jeff, and that time to get ready is right now. What a difference 30 minutes makes. When you all saw me just 30 minutes ago, it was beautiful and sunny, and now you can see that the clouds are out. It's very windy out, and we just have a little bit of light rain, and people are starting to head out of the beach. Now, red flags are flying today. They were also flying yesterday, indicating that the water isn't safe for swimmers this morning. WRAL spoke with neighbors as they prep ahead of the storm. People like Amy Avery say they're taking the necessary precautions.
Not overly concerned from what you're hearing?
No, not really. Not excessively. I think we'll definitely have some flooding and rains and some high wind gusts. But if you prepare as they tell you to, then we should be okay.
And when we caught up with lifeguards yesterday at the beach, they say that the major concern at this point is dangerous rip currents that we could see. But whenever we spoke to people who live around this area, it seems like folks are not planning to evacuate. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Wrightsville Beach.
Be sure to download the WRL News app for up-to-the-minute information about how Idalia will affect you. It is free wherever you get your apps.
There are no classes again today at UNC as the campus works through the trauma from Monday's shooting. WRL's Laura Levine shows us how students and staff are supporting each other and honoring the professor who died.
The Carolina community is coming together to honor a man who is described as an excellent professor, the father of two young children. Happening today at the bell tower, they're going to ring the bell at 1:02. That is the exact time the shooting occurred. It's a time that will forever be etched in the minds of students here. Last night, crowds of people united on campus as students are not only coming together to process this difficult time with peers, but they're also using this opportunity to shed light on addressing gun violence. Students and colleagues have left flowers, cards, and a model of a molecule at the base of the tower where there is a growing memorial. We spoke with the students who's behind organizing some of these events. They tell us they're passionate about ensuring Professor Yan did not die in vain.
We're calling on North Carolina leaders and leaders around this country to take action on gun violence. This is senseless. This is preventable. This is the only country where this happens. This is, you know, the third or fourth time that there's been a threat at my school, you know, just in the last, 13 years.
Now take a look at this video here. What you're looking at is police searching the suspect's apartment. As far as the investigation stands, police are still looking for that gun that was used during the shooting and a motive. Happening tonight at 7:30, the UNC community will hold a candlelight vigil on Polk Place. And if it rains, they're going to move that to the Dean Smith Center. Laura Levine, WRL News in Chapel Hill.
Happening now in the WRL Live Center, ex-Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio will be sentenced today for his role in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Prosecutors are seeking 33 years behind bars for Tarrio. He had already been arrested and ordered to leave the D.C. area before the riot, but prosecutors maintain Tarrio led the assault at the Capitol from afar. He was one of the top targets for the Justice Department prosecuting the Capitol riot cases.
Ken, thanks for that. We have a live look right now. RDU International Airport Terminal 2 out there. FlightAware says 10 cancellations, 8 delays right now out there. If you're thinking about traveling today or have loved ones coming in for the long weekend, it is expected to be a busy holiday weekend out there. Travel expected to ramp up tomorrow, stay busy through Monday. AAA predicting more people will travel this year compared to last year. New data shows domestic bookings are up 4%, international bookings up 44%. Coming up on 8:40 right now, 20 minutes to 9. It is a big day for college basketball, and WRL's Pat Welter gives us a look at the North Carolina Stars, who will be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
And we want to bring you live out to Tampa, Florida right now. You can see water coming up over the interstate on the right-hand side of your screen there. That is coming up over Interstate 275 right now, where you can see some police there. That bridge shut down. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will break down the newest information we're learning about Hurricane Idalia right now.
.843 the time right now, and just about an hour ago, Idalia made landfall as a Category 3 hurricane. This is Gainesville, Florida, right now, and some sort of a marina there, it looks like. But boy, what a picture that is, as this has come onto land with some steam. It was Category 4 at one point, touchdown with a Category 3. And Elizabeth Gardner of the WRL Severe Weather Center, where it stands right now, Elizabeth?
Yeah, the center of circulation is now inland. Boy, this rain band right here is producing some issues in terms of some strong gusty winds and some very heavy rain. Of course, storm surge, a big issue here along the east side of the Apalachee Bay. I've been looking at some of the videos, especially from the National Weather Service in Tallahassee. Their Twitter feed has some incredible video of destruction from wind
some wind and from the storm surge here where the storm made landfall. At this point, we're going to start watching it push into Georgia. Plenty of rain here. That leading rain band is producing some tornado warnings, or was about an hour or so ago. Those have started to die out a little bit. The strongest wind gust that we saw as the storm was coming on shore was 77 miles per hour. We'll be looking for some more of those as it moves on shore. But of course, the winds will start to die down a bit as it moves over land, and the friction starts to slow the spin of the storm. So currently, from the 8 a.m. advisory, it has winds at 120 miles per hour. Winds potentially at 125 as it made landfall. Moving northeast now at 18 miles per hour, and we watch the path of that storm. It's likely to become a tropical storm, but a fairly strong one as it moves across the coast of South Carolina and then makes that right turn out into the Atlantic. So it brushes by North Carolina, with Wilmington being the town closest to the center of the storm. But at that point, the winds will likely be closer to 60 miles per hour. There'll be some storm surge in along the coast of North Carolina. I'll show you what that will look like. But just as a note, you're going to see the storm moving out here toward Bermuda and stalling. That's still going to make for some high rip current danger through the holiday weekend. The storm moves away. The weather looks like it should be okay, but it will be dangerous to swim. Weather alert day for us. Flooding is going to be our major issue. Most of the viewing area is under a flood watch starting this afternoon through tomorrow afternoon. 2 to 5 inches of rainfall are possible. The best chance for flooding will be in our southern counties, where it's a high risk. Our counties in the middle are at a medium risk, and it's a low risk for our northern counties. By tomorrow, that high risk moves to the coast, especially the sounds, and some of this is going to end up being storm surge related. And then our eastern counties at a medium risk. We take a look at our severe threat. This is going to be for the potential of some spin up tornadoes that tend to happen with tropical systems. The best chance of that will be closer to the coast. When does the rain arrive where you are? We could see some light showers right around lunchtime in our southern counties, but really that first rain band comes in between 3 and 5 p.m. It looks like a lot of us will be wet during the evening commute, and once that rain starts, it will continue overnight. Some of the heaviest rainfall may be early in the morning between 3 and 5 a.m. up until around 6 or 7, so the morning commute is going to be messy. By lunchtime, the rain is pulling out of the triangle, and it's out of the viewing area really completely by the time we get to the evening commute. Here's a look at some of those totals. Looking at an inch or two for our northern counties, including the triangle, but very quickly it ramps up to around 5 inches. Goldsboro, say Fayetteville, Clinton, even around parts of Edgecombe and Wilson counties, that's where we will have the best chance of seeing some flooding. Possibly localized 7 inches, but we're looking at widespread 5-inch totals in our southern counties. So flash flooding, a high risk in the south and a low risk in the north. Winds gusting 35 to 45, and the tornado threat with this is going to be fairly low. We do have a tropical storm warning up and down the coast. We have the potential for 1 to 3 feet of storm surge. Some of the sounds could see up to 4 feet. Folks are out on the golf course getting in some pretty weather this morning before the rain starts this afternoon. Temperatures in the mid-70s right now. We'll see highs this afternoon in the mid-80s before the rain starts. And then once it moves out Thursday, we're looking at a quiet weekend. We'll see sunny skies and warming temperatures. Labor Day, 91.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. We're following some breaking news this morning. A downed tree has power out for hundreds in Orange County, and we just checked a minute ago. There are 815 customers without power right now. Brittany Swizz on the scene in the WRL breaking news tracker as crews work to get the power back on.
Crews are working as quickly as they can to replace at least two different power poles here along this intersection that were taken out by that tree around 10:30 last night. I'm going to step behind the camera and show you a little bit of what these crews have been doing through the night to try to get this power restored. This is one of those power poles we're talking about. It's right in front of Fire Station 3 here in Chapel Hill. The tree that took out these power lines is just up the road here on Elliott Road. You can kind of see some of the branches there that are still covering the sidewalk. Take a look at this. This is video from the WRL breaking news tracker from this scene overnight. Crews tell me the angle at which this tree fell is the reason it caused so much damage when it ripped the power lines with it. The power outage has stoplights out at multiple intersections along Franklin Street, but crews are hopeful those will all be fixed by the middle of the day. At that point, they'll be able to reopen this intersection at Franklin Street and Elliott Road. In the meantime, use Fordham Boulevard as an alternate route. In Chapel Hill, Brittany, WRL News.
Some of the biggest basketball names of Tobacco Road lore, including Coach K, are going into the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame tonight. WRL's Pat Welter is in Chicago ahead of tonight's induction ceremony.
Good morning, everybody. Pat Welter coming to you from downtown Chicago, Illinois, a city known for its deep dish pizza, its beautiful canals, and actually, Coach K.
First of all, it's K-R-Z-Y.
Mike Krzyzewski, born and raised in Chicago, coming back to where it all began. K, a part of the founding 2006 class of the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame, officially being enshrined here in Chicago in 2023. Fittingly going in with him is his first star player at Duke, Johnny Dawkins. Now the head coach at UCF, Dawkins led Duke to its first tourney appearance and national title appearance under K. He's the school's second all-time leading scorer and was the player of the year in 1986. Of course, Carolina couldn't let Duke get all the love. Tyler Hansbrough, also joining the Hall, is arguably the most decorated player in Tar Heels history. He's the school's and ACC's all-time leading scorer, made two Final Fours, including winning the national title in 2009. So the red carpet's supposed to start at 6 o'clock with the actual ceremony set for 9. I'll be here talking to the inductees as well as some of the biggest names in college basketball. Big day ahead for me. I better start carb loading. Now, where can I get some deep dish pizza for breakfast? You sir over there. Can you help me out?
Yeah, he's gonna take a boat, get some pizza right there. You can see Pat's reports and probably hear where he got his pizza from tonight in Chicago, starting at 6 o'clock on WRAL.
I'll be tuning in for sure. Well, student loan payments are set to resume in October after being paused for more than 3 years. But some borrowers say they can't afford to pay, and others say they won't. The Biden administration's plan to forgive up to $20,000 in student debt would have wiped many borrower slates clean. A challenge from the 6 Republican-led states resulted in a Supreme Court decision in June that struck that plan down. Now, some borrowers who put thousands of dollars into other investments, like starting new businesses, say they can't pay their loans back.
I'm disappointed and I'm confused. It's too inconsistent. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, and that's kind of scary.
The median student borrower has between $20,000 and $25,000 in debt. More than 40 million student borrowers will face interest accrual beginning next month.
If you don't have a generator, you could have a tough time finding one before Idalia arrives in our area. Our producers checked, and you can't get one from Amazon before the storm reaches us. And we searched around the Triangle hardware stores. There were some available, but don't expect those to last too long. One critical feature to look for, though, in a generator is one that shuts off automatically for dangerous levels of carbon monoxide. Consumer Reports says each manufacturer has a different name for its shutoff system.
Each manufacturer uses a different name for their CO shutoff system. So if you're shopping for a new portable generator, look for terms such as CO Shield, CO Sense, CO Guard, CO Protect, or CO Detect.
And be sure to put the generator outside, at least 20 feet from your house, and with the exhaust pointed away from living areas to avoid carbon monoxide poisoning and any other dangers.
Well, racing fans, get ready. The Winston Cup Museum is reopening on Friday. The Winston-Salem Museum shut down on July 3rd because of ongoing legal battles over the brand Winston. The museum has dozens of race cars, memorabilia, and other pieces of NASCAR history. The museum owner decided to reopen despite an ongoing legal battle, as we mentioned.
8:52 right now, a struggling mother got an unexpected surprise from her coworkers in a viral TikTok video.
Erica Perez was overcome with emotion as colleagues gathered for a surprise baby shower. The soon-to-be mother of four never had a baby shower before. Her coworker, Markayla, recorded the moment and posted it to TikTok. And within an hour, of course, it went viral. She set up a registry on Amazon, and a few days later, she rolled in a cart full of packages from people who saw the video, people that Perez didn't even know. The help for her could not have come at a better time. After a recent surgery, they were on a tight budget, so Erica decided to pay it forward.
Because all of the stuff that he got, I was able to give back to 7 families, and 4 of them were from domestic violence shelters.
One kind act from her coworker set off a chain reaction of goodwill that has now changed lives. I love that. All right, before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.